All right, well, like I said, have issues. You have to find the source of these issues and have them rectified. But not to just take $8 or $10 or $3 billion, just say that. My thing about it is to more or less have it reinforced, because then it has some cracks at strategic points. I myself has walked and looked at it and everything. Has some cracks at strategic.
You're an expert, then.
Right? Now, my position is that have the building reinforced and retrofit and continue. Clean up the first station. The first station has been there for years. Now, what I think you should be doing as a government is creating a center right there, right at that point, by cleaning up those buildings. Now, there's a building next to it called the BWIA building was. You remember that building?
Yes.
That is a dilapidated state as well.
But there's a private building.
There's a private, so this is what I'm saying. If you want to clean up part of the Bridgetown as a going concern and looking down 50 years down the road, let's start doing it right by cleaning up, retrofitting, and making it right. You got the bus terminal there. Go back in the days of Tony Marshall, I have said many times, I'm revamping that whole area.
But I think the government is actually contemplating that right now. I think that's part of the plan.
If you're looking at really beautifying the place, the areas and ways you can do it. You don't have to spend millions of dollars to do that.
Okay, well, let's move on. Thank you very much.
Create a hub. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
A blessed and healthy new year for you. Now, I don't seek to pour cold water on the discussion, but we all want to make our positions, opinions, etc. But taking it to the ultimate, nothing that any caller says will change the course of the tide.
Why is that?
Because, Mr. Ellis, I have seen and I have heard and I have listened, and it is only for accounting purposes or academic interest. Really, I have seen a whole 360 gone around there in Bay Street. Now, I put in this one to you, Mr. Ellis. You don't think you work for one Caribbean Media, is OCN? You don't think that Rediffusion building could have been licked down, the old Rediffusion building, and everybody gone down to Fontabelle?
That is something that could have been done, but you
see... Yeah, you're on a riverbed.
But I just want... Well, true, but...
You are on a riverbed. So I am saying... But you have.
Let me ask you something. You're on a riverbed. So yes. You went down to Fontibel. You think you'd be so much better off?
No.
Rising sea levels and all of that?
Rising sea levels.
Okay.
So once you're down there, you're moving from one
well, to make a recommendation that you move from here there to me.
But you
heard
what I said. I said, don't you think you could have? I never said you should have.
Okay.
Relocated to Fontibel. You know, but I have noticed, not this year, not last year, that there are four persons in Barbados. If one pronounces is a college, if two pronounces a gospel, if three pronounce is a book, and if four pronounce is the Bible, you shut it down, be moving off with that. Mr. Ellis, we have all visited big countries, England and Canada. And we marvel at the age of hospitals. There are hospitals there over 200 years. There are hospitals in the center of business with exhaust fumes of every kind that you could think of. There's the St. Mary's Hospital right there in Paddington. Then there's the other one out in Shepherd Bush, not too far away. And I think the one when I was in Canada, the Royal Vic. These hospitals. And you know what? They are in cold climes where TB virus proliferate, right? Where Legionnaires is possible, where fungal diseases in surgeries. But they have to use them because they are centrally located. You know, so I have heard about 7 new ministers last year, and I was going to call about it. Use pejorative and derogatory statements to their constituents. By constituents, I don't mean their localized constituents, the people of Barbados, as if to say, I say it, and I am one of 30. And once it is said, it's almost like an autocracy. That, there's something I'm doing some research on, an old permanent secretary.
But you know, to say that, you
need to... Let me hear you. I pull up. Sorry.
To say that, you've got to give me some example of what you're talking about.
You really want me to give
you... Yes, I want you to do so, because if you say that you heard 7 ministers
today... You all right. You all, I know you're mad like you're fat. And science is my background. I don't come and froth from off the top of my head. I heard Minister Abrams say, don't come to me about the bills, because I'm paying it. I heard another minister say...
So what's wrong with that?
It is the tone of voice in which you say things. Well, you know that too. You qualified it.
Well, that is your interpretation of the tone.
You are one of the best orators in Barbados. It's all like striking for politics.
You know full well that I can't rely upon your interpretation.
I know you.
To say that, the man was so obnoxious towards constituents by saying, I am not paying any bills, don't bring the bills to me.
No, that's obnoxious.
So what's another one?
I heard another minister say, if the teachers that you call the police.
All right.
I heard another minister say, don't say what the country could do for you, but what you could do for the country. It is always in this retaliatory...
Hold on. That's offensive?
Yes, man. Listen,
so when President John F. Kennedy said the same thing to the American people, they interpreted it as an offensive comment?
I know what...
You see why I tell you need to hear? That is why it was so important.
Another minister tell you, I ain't Jesus Christ. You want me to come with all 7, Mr. Ellis?
Well, you know that...
I ain't got nothing written down.
You know there are people who would listen to you, and in their judgment,
listen to
they
me,
would not
to
consider... They wouldn't consider those things to be that offensive? They wouldn't consider
listen,
that to
man.
Be offensive?
Listen, man, I came down the line with you. You remember when... the last British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown was canvassing one day, and a lady greeted Gordon Brown in a cold manner and haughty. And when he was leaving, he hadn't switched off the mic. You remember that one?
I can't remember what he said.
And by the time he got back to his office, he was told, "You use insulting remarks to the constituent." You know, Gordon Brown turned around and went back and apologized to the lady. Look, we only have to...
Well, how did we get off on this tangent here about...
Because I am saying to you
how
about licking down buildings. And I tell you that, and I'm using the Bayesian parlance, where the fusion could have been licked down because you could have come and said, look, and I know how tight you got to that stuff. I don't know how you all operated in there at all. And I have seen it happen. Last time I was in England, it's now finished.
But I don't understand what was so difficult about operating in Radiofusion before.
I don't know, Mr.
Now.
Ellis.
But the tide doesn't come in here. I don't understand how you got such difficulty understanding that.
Mr. Ellis, some days I used to hear drills going off, heavy drilling.
Because that's during the construction.
Well, right, so I'm saying that you reconstructed with people in there. Are you telling me that you could not have rehabilitated I just hear a man speak. I know he's an engineer, but he has a very good brain for engineering matters. In respect of the
look, let me bring you to a somewhat related conversation, but it has to do with Barbados as it is today. I mean, you have been involved in politics and that sort of thing here.
Mm-hmm.
You ran in the last election
campaign. Yeah.
Let us talk a little bit about what are the major challenges that you see in the country at the moment.
Yeah.
Because your perspective on that is something that some people may consider to be useful. So what do you see these challenges as?
You mean in Barbados?
Yes.
First thing, Mr. Ellis, energy. Energy is, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems in Barbados. Now, I don't believe in every house or every other house going for with a voltaic cell. You know, we talk about preparing your houses for hurricanes, et cetera, disasters. A certain prevention. I am of the opinion, and the late Tom Adams, early in the 80s, I think, about 2 or 3 years before he went on, he seemed to have been actively pursuing tidal and wave energy. But you come up with something in Barbados, and there are people always giving you reasons as to why it should not happen. People feel that you must have a vertical fall to create energy for Barbados, like a waterfall like the Niagara Falls that provide most of Canada and into America with energy. But if you have energy coming at you horizontally and then receding by the sea and then the tidal lift over 24 hours, two of them, my basic training is that that can more than enough supply. But don't wait for some one person to come with it. Energy. All right? We get caught up now in the global warming. Global warming. And I hear people talking about global warming that just repeating what they've heard and have not subjected it to any sort of analytical critique. Okay, the biggest gas in global warming is carbon dioxide. Barbados don't spew out that amount of carbon dioxide vis-a-vis what you get in the big developed countries. As a matter of fact, the best slave for removing carbon dioxide is the sugarcane plant. We have to put a case internationally as to why the big countries, the donors, the facilitators of the IMF, rehabilitative contractual work, the IADB and the world, they must see us going back into that.
You have to,
Mr. Ellis. As a matter of fact, I think you could become a net earner without every hotel you put up. Is basically a user or a producer of carbon dioxide. But I'm not saying get rid of that.
But I want to say to you that.
Wait, hold on, and then you ask me a question.
People
ask me about water resources.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense looking back and say, well, 25. Practically every other house now has an indoor waterborne toilet facility. Therefore, it is about rate, Mr. Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
The rate at which you remove water from the earth and the rate at which it is put back, the rate at which you pull carbon out of the earth and the rate at which carbon is put back into the atmosphere and goes back. You got something called a carbon cycle. You remember studying it at school? Our bodies form part of the carbon cycle. When we die, we go back to the earth. And even if you burn, you're gone up in the air as carbon dioxide. It is the rate, Mr. Ellis. And I'm saying that every cane stalk you have is potentially an aquifer to an aquifer. And every sugar cane estate you have is a reservoir.
But stop. One,
and I pull up here. Let me hear you now.
You know what has been the biggest challenge confronting the sugar industry in Barbados?
Let me hear it, Mr.
And
Ellis.
And that has been the cost of production.
But
and
Mr. Ellis, nowadays...
And nowadays, the kind of money that we were getting for sugar or not getting for sugar for such a long time.
I agree with you. Hold on a minute. When you come to industry, there are certain things you look at. How clean is the industry? There isn't another industry as clean as the sugarcane industry, and it produces its own energy. We ain't gonna burn a coal nor nothing so, Mr. Ellis. You ain't going to burn a bunk of sea, nothing like that. And some years ago, I don't know if you remember, the research that was done here by, I was a little boy, just gone into secondary school, the Comfist project. You have to revisit projects that you overlooked in times of good times. So when you add them up, you're not pushing anything foreign into the atmosphere. You're not bringing in any metals that will contaminate.
But it has to be financially viable. to do all of that. And look, wait a minute. You know full well. You know full well that you can't rely upon government to do that either.
That is a good. That's the indicator you know ball at me. You know also full well that there's a difference between being financially and economically. Who has won the Four Spirits Award in consecutive years? Barbados, but we are made to think that rum is a waffless man drink. That you drink rum and you're going to lick somebody.
We import the molasses for that.
So hold on, Mr. Ellis. We will never be able to use all the molasses. So therefore, there will come a time that you may very well be told you cannot claim it to be your rum if it does not come from Barbados. We should be speaking of rum that is coming from the Friendship area, that is coming from the Montgomery, just as how the Spanish and the French speak about their wine.
I know one thing that you have to brace yourself for.
Let me hear you.
You're likely to see that there's a significant increase in the price of rum locally very soon.
Because there is more of a move
to make rum a premium product, which is being promoted abroad right now. Barbadian-made rum is being promoted as a premium product in the United States. And apparently the plan is to do the same thing here.
Yeah, but Mr. You know the syntax. Syntaxes don't work when a fella likes smoking.
Yeah, but I still say to you, the sugar industry, because you make it seem so simple, but if it was as simple as that,
the sugar industry would not have been in the kind of crisis
that it has been for
Mr.
so long.
You had a man called Avinash Prasad who came on the radio, and he gave you the impression that, again, tone of voice, tonal quality. If I say so, it is so, because it is IAP who says so. There are other people in this bar, as I don't want to call the names right now, who want this pronounced, and they had a bigger or wider education than I have had in the field. You know what I mean? If Busy Williams comes on today and tells you that he could bring a machine in Barbados to capture all the carbon dioxide, you say, yeah, Busy, right. I like Busy. I like him. I like Cow. They play a significant part in our development. But we must get to understand that if Robinson comes and tells you about a construction or undermining process, let's give him an ear. But I have seen a 3-6.
But nobody is disputing the point that you have made about sugarcane and what it can do as it relates to carbon in the atmosphere and stuff. But let me say to you, the real point of departure has to do with being able to run a sugar industry in a way that the people who are in the forefront of it, which will be the private sector, can feel that it is worth their while.
But Mr.
And I don't
Ellis,
know, you are not telling me how you are going to achieve that.
You know what is your basic premise there?
What?
That we are going on a one cylinder. Barbados is too small to fire on one cylinder. We can go there, we can go into the, there is the cotton, and you have to relook and revisit. And you know the talk that people hold. You see, cotton? Cotton is natural fabric.
Well, you speak like a politician.
No, I speak like a scientist.
You speak like a politician.
No,
you know.
No, science comes
because
this is
a conversation which says that these are the things that we ought to be able to do. This is not a conversation that says this is how we're going to get there.
That we ought to be revisited.
How are we going to get there?
Let me hear how you could if rum, okay, is now fetching a premium price, and it is, you can't get rum without molasses. You can't get molasses without sugar cane. And we have a lot of idle lands that are there, and because they're life fallow, they're not rotivated. They act as prime sources or beds for runoff.
Let me put to you another perspective on
let me hear you.
The politician and how he speaks.
Don't get too personal with me, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah, because
I could talk about the
Yeah, you can. And
the media has
that's
said,
not
right?
a problem. You know that. Would,
right. But I ain't gonna do that. I respect your profession.
You can do that anytime.
Right.
The point is that you spend a lot of time looking at the physical side of things.
Uh-huh.
You, the politician.
Right.
You look at the physical side. For instance, somebody says here, was government not advised by engineers what should be done with the old NIS building? I haven't heard one person that speak on the NIS building this morning say that they had any experience in engineering. But another person goes on to say that they come from a background where they have noticed that this person says, when I was doing a course at the Center for Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, I visited the hospital where Florence Nightingale worked. It was still a fully functioning hospital.
Yeah.
Our people constantly judge our politicians by the monuments they build.
Yeah.
This forces the politician to have to build monuments to themselves.
Yeah.
Else, we the citizens ask what it is that they have been doing.
Yeah.
Now, so you spend a lot of time focused on those things, but we also have these soft issues in the country.
Yeah.
Right now, we're talking again about the first murder of the year, the concerns about how you're going to change the Barbadian attitude, the society to make it better.
Yep.
Why is it that we hear so little from politicians on those things?
No, Mr. Ellis, I have just given you reason, and I cited hospitals the world in Canada and England and buildings that were 18th century, 17th century. I am scientifically grounded and sound, and I don't go in for waste money. And as I said, there's something which is financially and economically different. No. Let me come to crime. We got one already. So if you work out a ratio, you'll have to get 60 to 70 by the end of the year. But I would not be that negative.
We got what? So stop. On what basis you're projecting 60 to 70?
If you get one in six.
Okay.
610 to 360 is how much.
Yeah, but you.
So I am saying if I were that
okay.
worthless an individual, I would say that.
But you're
but
not.
I am not.
You're not. Okay.
I'm not.
It's a good thing.
I'm not. And I'm going to tell you here now, Mr. Ellis. The on our platform in the last election, we looked at an issue there on immigration that you sent. You know how many, and I wanted to say this, I don't think I had the chance to say it to you. You know, at least once every 6 months or 4 months, somebody of Lucian, Vinci, Dominican, Grenadian origin comes to me. They work hard so that me and you get a quote-unquote free education. And now the time has come that they should get their little send-off. It isn't there. You have to send back home. You got to send back home to Castries and go to see which priest baptized you. And all such like to get, and lots of them, Mr. Ellis.
What you mean by the little send off?
Your pension and gratis and your pension. Some of them got caught in the system where you work at, I don't like to call names, you work at Plantation A, then you went to Plantation B. You get transferred to A to B, and then you went to Plantation C. Then St. Lucie.
So they're exploited.
Yes. And they say they have no records of that person. And my heart bleeds. There are some who have to go back home and die. I spoke about that issue in the city on more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at the end, people came and asked me, how could I contact you? Because it is unfair that these people spent, some of them came here at 16, 15, 14. The dig well, the head can, the load can, the cut can.
It's pretty unfair.
Hard, Mr. Ellis.
Unfair.
They can't get, the other day I saw it a bit highlighted, and I speak so with a certain degree of sanguine conscience. They came here and they poured so that we could look at them. We call them foreigners and all derogatory names. And they built Barbados.
Where are you there for? Very quickly, we got to wrap up.
But
where do you stand on the proposals in the new Immigration Act?
Question.
The new Immigration Act, therefore. Have you had a chance to look at that?
Ellis, yeah. I have always, you know, we started law at the same time. And they said before, I don't know why you didn't finish it off. They said before you give an opinion, you must have perused or perused, as the agents would tell you, perused or perused, whatever you care to say, the legislation with a fine tooth. So I do not know all of the things. But what I will tell you is, go back to the origins and get things right. Those people to whom I refer, them and the offspring, you got money for them, give them the money, give them the... But don't just get them lost where you have now to send back to the Church of the Immaculate Conception. Right.
We got to leave, yeah. We got to leave, yeah. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks, hello?
Hello, good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon.
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Thank you. The politician, former politician, had a long haul, but he's got some pluses and minuses in there. If I may comment on them briefly, let's say the building and the construction of the building that is now under discussion regarding it having it demolished.
Yes.
Look, all the references to the Indies building, the Florence Nightingale Hospital and all that, does it not depend on the type of construction and the way a building was constructed, the terrain on which it's constructed? Are those not engineering factors that determine the durability and how long a building will, you know, it will be in order, good order, good standing?
But all the more reason why we have not been given enough information on this, because it's coming across as though somebody has the idea that you want to build this park, and this park is supposed to be in memory of the Clement Paine movement and all of that. So therefore, you have to give more information so that people could, you know.
Yeah, I've listened and heard outlines of some of the issues regarding the sickness and the seeping through the flooring and all, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, those are clearly issues that are not standard with a building in good health, So, I mean, that itself should tell you that there are serious issues regarding the building. So I'm mentioning this because the engineer, as he implied, that is his training, that, you know, he's only looking at it from a point of view of, you know, waste of money and buildings that have lasted much longer and so on. So I'm just raising that to say that there are other aspects that need to be, to be looked at beyond that. He's raised some, these are some of the positives regarding the sugar cane and so on. It has been identified as one of the better things for all landscape here in terms of also the recycling of the soil and rotation, I should say, and stuff like that. And it has a serious role to play, and now it's a input into the production of rum and so on. And molasses, I don't know why he would say that we don't have the capacity to produce the amount of molasses that we require.
Well, that is linked to how much cane is planted.
And that's the scientific
thing. How much of an incentive do the farmers have for continuing and expanding sugarcane production?
Well, again, like everything else, quantity is part and parcel of determining a cost factor, isn't it? So, in other words, if across the board you're producing greater tonnage, greater yields and stuff like that, then you have an opportunity to scale it up, making it more viable for the farmer.
So, right? From where you sit, therefore, you are optimistic about the sugar industry in Barbados?
I said it has potential. It just depends on what we do with it going forward. A lot of the times, David, the yardstick for measuring the performance of the sugar industry is based on old way of doing things and a lot of old stuff and approaches and people looking at the labor input and people now want to harvest and a whole set of factors. We have now moved to a stage where we have motorized harvesters and stuff like that. Yes, there are issues regarding that we have to sort with the harvesters so that we, in terms of how we utilize them and how the cane is cut with them and so on. So there are factors that would impact on the quality of the cane that is produced. But certainly going forward, if we want to get the volumes up and so on, and we take the harvesting methodology that we are now using into consideration, that should make a difference in terms of the dollar and the cost input, don't you think?
Well, you know, I leave it to the experts to...
But if you're not an expert with me, you have no conversation. And examine. I'm raising some points. No, you don't, David, you don't have to be an expert in every single thing that you... Intelligence, look, you don't go to college or university and get intelligence. I consider you to be intelligent. I'm trying to have an intelligent conversation.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to retreat from that. But what I'm saying to you is that, you know, we've had so much... The sugarcane industry in Barbados, the sugar industry in Barbados, rather...
Mm-hmm.
Has been so heavily studied. We have had Landell Mills, we've had this, we've had that. Then we reached the point of saying, you know, we were going to have this multi-purpose sugarcane plant. That didn't go anywhere because of the cost associated with it. So we are now, let me just make the point, no? So we are now in a situation where it looks to me as though the government is relying more on some modified plan that the private producers have for trying to take the industry forward. Because I don't think, I don't know if you see it that way, but I don't rely upon government to be able to do those things.
David, perhaps this is why we should have this discussion. I'm talking to you and we have an audience. Look, the sugarcane we've made some errors in the past with sugarcane. We've been producing tons of bulk sugar because we were offered a preferential price. We produce bulk sugar, send it to Tate and Lyle, and Tate and Lyle take it, repackage it, and sell it to the world and make much more money than we were making. So we should have learned something from that lesson, don't you think? Agree?
Yeah, I've heard those ideas. But it is only recently, that I have heard that the world price of sugar has been far more attractive than it has been in a very long time.
So therefore, we are in a prime position now to benefit from and learn from the mistakes that we've made in the past in terms of selling the sugar as bulk sugar and branding it. Barbados has some of the best sugar. We grow some of the best cotton, the Sea Island cotton. So we have to take advantage of what we have that we do better than others. And we have to use those opportunities.
We haven't done anything with cotton?
David.
They got cotton stored up in St. George or St. Thomas, someplace up there. St. George.
Well, cotton is perhaps a more restricted or has a thinner margin line in terms of what we do with it than sugar that does. Because the spectrum is much, much broader. You would appreciate that because of the byproducts we can get from the sugar cane, right down to we being able to produce containers and wood, certain types of sheet wood.
You got to make that attractive for private investment.
David, I'm going to end here by saying, look, too often governments rely on private sector to come and bring... hello?
Okay, I want to hear this.
And bring solutions to the table. Look, private sector are in business to make money, and what government has an easy opportunity to bring in revenue through taxation. The private sector don't bring people from Mars to run organizations when they run profitable organizations.
So explain to me why is it that all of that sugar land that fell into government's hands because the plantations were so heavily in debt to the Barbados National Bank.
All of that land
right now lies fallow.
Okay, where there's no vision, the people perish. Unfortunately, that is a statement of fact. We're trying to have a visionary view of what looking at things going forward, and let's bring some vision into what we need to do going forward. And I hope.
Where are you going to get that from? How come you couldn't get that vision before you can get it?
I'm having a conversation with you.
Implementation deficit?
Hello?
Is it because of the implementation deficit more so than anything else?
But David, you're just in my age group or probably a little younger. Look, we know how politicians operate and the modus operandi. We don't know that. The current crop that we have in charge of the country, they give me the impression that they want to do things different. They want to make a difference, and I have seen some signs on the horizon that indicate that they want to do that. So here's what we want to do. You and I, and you can take this opportunity, use this program to help bring to the table ideas. The Prime Minister said, you know, all hands on deck. We want to see everybody put in and help. If you really want to help as a politician and make a difference and show that you are different, you're a new type of politician, start to listen and work with the people going forward. And I'm telling you that this country can do much better.
To what extent have you been able to notice a change in the mindset and the behavior of the people towards the goal that the government has established?
I've heard some talk. I've seen some action backing up the talk that I've heard. So that is. If we're going into details, I use those as indicators, to show that they're.
You're seeing on the ground. You see average Barbadians responding to that call.
Not on a large scale. Because, again, look, I myself, right, have had some experiences before dealing with politicians, and really and truly, some disappointment and not very much encouragement. But I'm at the moment looking and hoping that I can make connections with the current ones in charge, and hopefully, they'll see the light and work, be willing to back up and go forward with some of what would be presented. Look. I've heard you and I agree with you totally talking about water. We have to visit how we consume water, and we have to not only address it at the level of harvesting, but also usage. And there are several things that we can do with that. All right, I'll leave that with you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. Let's take another call. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ellis. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. I'm well. It's
good, Mr. Ellis.
11 minutes
Mr.
before
Ellis,
2, yes.
A shingles, well, brothers, get back at the shingles street call. We should know in the first place. It's better than selling passports to diplomats. It's a better business than selling, bringing people to you want people in the country. Christmas tomorrow. Your government is running a stupid economics just because America gives these countries only $50 billion and they're just running foolishness down here, Mr. Ellis.
Were you around when we had to import Vincentians to cut the sugar cane when we had a more vibrant industry?
We didn't have to, Ellis. We were just giving them some work, Ellis.
We weren't giving them some work.
We had to.
No, fortunately. Fortunately, I was not living in Canada nor the United States when that was happening. So I remember the difficulties that the plantations had in getting Barbadians to cut canes.
I don't remember
it being something that we just did to help out other people.
We were just helping those services to employ some of those people at Ellis. We were producing our own, cutting our own shit, reaping our sugar cane. This economics of the government's jabbing is nonsense. Get them on the passport, bring the people and cut you along.
So that's why St. Kitts had to close its entire sugar industry?
That's why the business to get back up foolishness just because the men get the $50 billion and you know what to give $50 billion to get rid of Morris Bishop. I will talk to you another time.
I can tell seriously, you really didn't come to have a conversation. You came just to have your say and to move off. That is all it was. But some comments have come to us via people who have been speaking to us on WhatsApp. This person says, on average, a building in construction is constructed to last over 50 years. He's suggesting that the NIS building was a highly engineered building, still within this range. A look at the simple box design of the building, and you will see it is the same as the building we are constructing today. I'm not so sure exactly what that person is saying on that score. I know a lot of time has been spent today on this whole question of the NIS building. Should we knock it down? I think it is consistent with the general concern that we have seen in Barbados a failure to maintain buildings and then to move out of the buildings. Now, we have also had from one of the people who worked inside that building, a full expose of what she went through, the health issues that she experienced. And then she says to us that in her judgment, And based upon the experience that she's had, she traces those health issues to the building itself. A lot of people in the country still seem a little wary of the idea of knocking down this building, and in particular, the building that houses the Barbados Fire Service. Ultimately, though, the government and the Prime Minister, who spoke about this matter recently in her New Year's address, must understand that there is a need to say a bit more to justify this against the backdrop of the concerns that people have expressed about how government is just knocking down or moving out of buildings and not properly maintaining them. And when you go to other countries, you see a much better job done in this regard. This person says, the government of Barbados needs to come on the radio and let the public know what are the facts about the proposed demolition of the NIS building, instead of these self-professed experts coming on the air spouting misinformation. They ask this question: why is the government being so tight-lipped about the facts behind the demolition of the building? What have they got to hide? Now, I really thought that given the kind of commitment to transparency and stuff that we've been hearing, and the response that we got from the government in the early days of this administration, that this is the kind of occasion where you need to be able to help people understand why you're doing what you're doing. But it's been very difficult to, it's like pulling teeth today to fight out, to get somebody to come forward and deal with this. Somebody says that they made a suggestion about building a multi-story car park over the Carinas about 20 years ago. And he guesses that no one listens to laymen. And I was asked what I would do to alleviate congestion in the city by the commissioner of police. That's what the person says that caused them to make that particular recommendation. Yet another one here, because we've had some pretty interesting feedback here. This person says, I am so tired of the unions. They say that they are a strong supporter of workers' rights, but the unions cannot repeatedly try to fight the implementation of methods that improve the services provided to the taxpaying public. And the person is making reference to this whole question of the schools and the position taken by the unions in relation to registering the students and the teachers online. Let's take another call before we end this program at 2 o'clock. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
I am a retired civil servant, and what I will say to the majority of the state buildings that the government has developed right now is that we as civil servants are not nice to ourselves. We are in an air-conditioned building. I am hot, you are cold. We want to turn it down, turn it up. We open windows. That develops mold, and that is what is making or has made the majority of the civil servants ill.
Where do you stand on this matter of the NIS building? You think we should not?
I'm speaking about the NIS building, yes. Because they open the windows, the air condition is on, and as you know, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
So we do that to ourselves, and then we become ill, and then we blame everybody except ourselves.
So our practices are helping to create the problem. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that we create the problems for ourselves, and then want to blame everybody else.
Is that because they don't have the knowledge, they don't understand the dangers inherent in doing that?
Whenever the technicians come in, they tell you that, and people just ignore.
Well, you see,
in my day, because I'm retired now, but the technicians will come in and say, but you can't have the windows open and the air conditioner on. How much times do you have to say that, Mr. Ellis? Anyway, wish the VOB staff a very healthy, blessed, and prosperous 2020.
Well, I want to thank you very much. And that's where we are going to wrap up this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. I want to thank you on behalf of my technical operator, John Stout. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Goodbye.